name.
Yes, Cody?
We signed somebody else.
It's about time.
You think? You think it's about time?
Yeah, I think there's a couple positions needed to adjust.
Fair enough.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Monday evening?
James, it is Monday. I am currently still job searching, even though I've applied at your place of business.
Hopefully that works out for us.
We'll find out. But no, it's other than, you know, job searching, doing well, doing very well, hanging out, getting some kind of housework done. Clearly, as we sit here right now, just had to completely remove everything in my basement due to a leakage problem, I would describe it as.
Leakage.
It was just a drip, but it was bad drip.
Yep. Bad keyboard destroying drip.
Oh, well. It is what it is. But I am doing swell. How are you?
I'm great.
He said that. Great. Why great? Why are you great?
Why am I great?
I want to know. I don't want to be one of those people that's like, hey, how's it going? And then not actually care about the answer.
I feel good, man. I don't know.
Getting some lifting in?
I need to.
Oh, okay.
As many rugs as I lift every day.
Looks like you've been going to town, man, on those weights.
Yeah, because I lift like 500 rugs a day.
James is getting fit, y'all.
That's the goal, always.
Just be ready for Instagram. I'm going to say it right now. After the podcast, we're going to do a picture of James, you know, buffing the muscles up.
What does that even mean, Basil? You're
flexing, my guy. Flexing. He thinks I'm joking. I'm going to post it.
I'm going to run right out this door as soon as this is over.
I won't let him go. Don't worry, guys. But no Steelers by Lake news. We do have Steelers news.
Yeah. Listen. How would you feel if I said, you look like you're in the best shape of your life?
I mean, I'd think you were lying, but I'd appreciate it. For those of you who didn't know, I just had to pull up my shirt and look at my stomach to remind myself that that's not a fact at all.
Well, right now, apparently it is for Big Ben.
Oh, yeah? Just like last year?
And the year before.
And the year before.
And the year before.
Oh, okay. The way to his rookie year.
It is that time of year, folks. Ben's in the best shape of his life. Just ask.
Just ask Ben Camp. I mean, that's what they call it, right? Ben Camp?
Yeah, it's got to be Ben Camp.
What does Ben Camp mean?
It means people that are paid to say things positive about Ben Roethlisberger.
I need a Cody Camp. I need a Cody Camp. Any takers, DM me on any social media platform, and we can talk. I need a Cody Camp.
Listen, I'm in Cody Camp.
That's right.
I say good things about you all
respect,
the time, brother.
But anyway. I'm in James Camp.
Going back to Ben Camp here, they apparently say he is motivated by all the people talking trash about him. Because let's be honest, a lot of people are saying he's going to get benched this season. There's no way he's going to have a good year.
Someone posted the top 32 team or 32 QBs. I think he was like 22.
Yeah.
There's no the disrespect to this man after the year he had last year, which was an off year, but it was still a really good year.
The first 11 weeks were stupid good. It fell off at the end, but a lot of that was kind of out of his control.
Yeah. Tip balls, whatever.
Yeah.
Just wild.
Receivers dropping the ball like crazy.
That's true.
Yeah. Like that kind of thing happens, but apparently he's obsessed with his workout routine. Obsessed with it.
Obsessed, okay.
And the rumor is that his diet is stricter than Tom Brady's right now.
That's impressive. TB12 has a quite insane and impressive diet.
Yeah.
If you haven't looked it up, look it up. Tom Brady's diet is stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only way it was going to get any better, because honestly, he came in the league.
He looked
like a regular dude. He wasn't an athlete at all.
Mac Jones better get on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom, you got to give him credit. He did get himself in good shape and actually turned into a more mobile quarterback later into his career than he was at the beginning because of how bad a shape he was.
Don't expect that out of Ben, though.
No, that's not happening. No. But, I mean, Ben came into the league running a 4.7 40. Brady came into the league running a 5.2 40.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. Ben was an athletic young guy. Tom was not. So Ben didn't have to do that kind of thing when he was younger.
Can I just, I need to say something right now that I didn't even tell you about before the show, but yeah. I meant to mention it to you and I forgot. I saw something online this week that a buddy of mine, Nick Van Ord, sent me. Nick is a not a big football fan, but he watches and listens to us because of me, and he's super supportive, and I appreciate him greatly. But Nick sent me something on Instagram and said, I don't know what's going on here, but it's the Steelers, and he sent it to me. It was, I never knew this happened. It was from Big Ben and the offensive lineman back in God knows when, what year that was, on Monday Night Raw. WWE. Yep. I did not know that happened.
I remember that.
And I was not ready to watch that.
Yep.
And the Big Show was there, and they said, QB Sneak, we're coming for you, and he jumped out of the ring. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, they had like Chris Kimuatu and Max Starks.
Yep.
Max Starks was a big boy,
man.
He was
super big.
He was like 6'8", 350. He was a big man.
I was not, and Ben was young, wearing the baggy, super baggy clothes. I was not ready for any of that.
Yeah, that was like D-Generation X time, man.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was fun.
And then who came out? Someone came out anyways to partner with them. I think it was...
Was it Stone Cold?
It was Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stone Cold and...
probably threw him
Triple
a beer.
Triple H. I almost said Triple X. Triple H. Sorry, we're talking football. Triple X is a formation trips wide.
What?
I don't know. They call wide receivers X's. Leave me alone.
Yeah, one of them is an X.
Whatever. That's true.
That's your fast guy.
One of them is square, one of them is circle. Sorry, that's PlayStation. Never mind.
Y and Z.
Anyways, no. I wasn't prepared for that. So listen, if Ben can come out, I want this to happen again. I want to see Ben on Monday Night Raw again. Now,
it's not happening.
It would be so funny though. It would be hysterical with the offensive line now that like no one knows who any of them are except for the diehard Steelers fans.
Pretty much in us.
Yeah, Pat Freiermuth out there. Oh, dude, put Pat out. Oh, get CSW back. It'd be a good time.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't mean to trail us off too much. We were talking about Big Ben, and I just had to. I'd never seen
that's
that
fun.
Footage.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
I had never seen that before.
That was
before.
Fun. That's a good 15 years old.
Dang.
Yeah. Think about that.
How old would I have been? 13?
4?
Get out of here. I was 13. Wild. Wild time. All right, what do we got next?
Speaking of wild times, Rosie Nix.
Rosie Velt himself.
Yep, he has officially retired.
Big sad.
Former Pittsburgh Steelers fullback.
Former
defensive line / linebacker.
Well, that too. But no, former
Pro Bowler.
No, that too. Former. You got something else?
Punt
before
block.
I get this out? Yeah. Former. I don't even know what the word is. Like employer to some degree of a good friend of mine, Carl. Carl was was his personal chef for a while.
Nice.
It was a good time to see Carl and hanging out in Pittsburgh with a guy, like an NFL player that was paying him to make food for him. It was awesome to see. Carl, I believe, now is the head chef for Slippery Rock University.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
It's a good gig.
Dude,
right
he's a cook. We'll have to get him down here for one of the shows or bring him to training camp or something.
Maybe we can get him to meet us at a tailgate.
Ooh, that'd be a good time.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking.
We'll be contacting
now
Carl.
Now we're talking. Man, I will not forget Rosie Nix's career, though.
No, you can't.
Now, this is a rare thing. Pittsburgh almost never does this. But his first year with Pittsburgh, they kept two fullbacks. And they did it because Rosie Nix played so well on special teams that preseason, including blocking a punt, which back then was like a fullback thing.
Yeah.
Every few years, you'd get a fullback that played well on special teams in the preseason, block some punts, and make the team. Rosie was a killer on special teams. And was not a bad fullback and was good enough to make it to the Pro Bowl once.
He probably, well, I guess I shouldn't say probably, because I think some people still count Franco Harris as a fullback.
He was, technically.
I hate that, though. He was a primary back and fullbacks
aren't. He was a feature back.
Whatever. Whatever.
He was the fullback and the feature back.
I just feel like Rosie Nix was probably the best actual fullback Pittsburgh's ever had. I mean, you can that I've seen at least. I can't, you know. I think of Chris Fumatu Alafala.
He was a halfback. He wasn't a fullback.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have swore I saw him blocking a little bit.
He probably did some, but
he was big enough.
But he was naturally a halfback. He was, yeah.
Yeah, but Rosie probably has again, maybe second to Franco, the most touchdowns as a fullback for Pittsburgh. Probably pretty close.
I don't know.
We'll look into that.
Hey, I've never looked at that.
We'll look into that and we'll let you know next week.
So many of their fullbacks just didn't get the ball ever. Like, Dan Kreider just blocked. Tim Lester just blocked. John Whitman, they used a little bit. But he was a more athletic dude than Kreider and Lester and even Rosie Nix was.
Yeah.
That was Penn State boy, John Whitman. Mm. Another undrafted guy.
Yeah, we know Derek Watt hasn't gotten a touchdown yet.
Not for Pittsburgh.
Should have gotten two.
Not for Pittsburgh.
That's okay.
I think you'll get three this year.
I think I'll get four.
You one-upper.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, Rosie Nix. Appreciate the career he had in Pittsburgh. Sad to see him go the way he did, but you got to get a Watt brother in there when you want trying to get that third one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and at the time, too, they really weren't going to pay a fullback. And, so there it is.
Again, I think James is on board with me. Pittsburgh's going to have the cap this upcoming offseason. Don't be surprised if we make a run for JJ.
Yeah, but something's got to happen. Didn't he sign a 3-year deal?
I thought it was only a 1-year deal.
I thought he signed a 3-year.
Oh, then correct. I could be wrong. We will double down on that and check that out.
Yeah, he'd need to get out of town. And yeah. So look for the extension on Derek so that when JJ's contract runs out, Pittsburgh can go after JJ. But I would not be surprised if we see this TJ Watt extension real soon here. Oh, we were both wrong, huh?
2-year deal.
There it is.
2-year deal, 28 mil.
So let's extend Derek for a year and then go ahead and go get JJ. There'll be plenty of cap space.
Yeah, if he's still in the league.
He will be. Come on.
You hope so. He's up there in age. He's 32.
Yeah, but he's still playing like he's 22.
That's true.
No, he isn't. I made that up. He's playing like he's like 29.
No. Well, I guess I didn't see him play when he was 22. He was still in college when he was 22.
Was he?
I think he came out just after he turned 23.
Oh, all right.
I could be wrong.
I'll take your word for that.
Again, just dangerous numbers.
But JJ was a stud. Pittsburgh could ever get him.
I can't agree more. Think about it. How much longer do we have Stephon Tuitt and how much longer do we have Cam Hayward?
Cam just signed like a 4 or 5 year extension.
And then Stephon Tuitt.
He's got like 2 years left.
So if we don't extend him at some point, which I don't know why you wouldn't want
I would. I would absolutely extend him.
JJ'd have to come in and play nose.
I would, dude. He could do it. He's strong enough. He could figure out the leverage thing. Just because he doesn't do it now doesn't mean he wouldn't be able to figure it out. But
yeah.
I don't know. That'd be a lot of fun. A lot of fun to get some more wattage on the team.
I like the word play. Yep. Punny. Anyways, you
know
moving
what,
on.
No, it's not punny.
What is not punny?
Getting punched in the face by your wife.
Ooh, no. Not punny, not funny.
No.
That was the news out of Las Vegas this past week. I'm sure by now, if you're listening to the podcast, you've seen or heard something about this. Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback that I'm a fan of. James is a little less than excited about his presence on the Steelers.
being fair, really.
Yeah. Had an altercation with his wife. Correct? It's his wife,
yeah.
They got engaged like a week ago.
No, that was actually celebrating their 5-year anniversary.
Okay, thanks. So, yeah, I saw that on Facebook or on Instagram, and I'm so confused.
Yeah, people thought they were just getting engaged, but it was actually a celebration of the 5-year anniversary.
Got it.
And I think this actually happened basically like that night or the night after. Yeah, so the incident itself happened actually at the very beginning of July, like the first week of July.
Okay.
And we're only hearing about it recently. So it puts the timeline back in that correct time of when that picture was posted.
Makes sense.
But it's important to note on this, too, that this is less of an altercation and more of a situation of assault.
Oh, 100%.
Really, his wife assaulted him. He removed himself from the situation. He went to the desk, asked for help from the staff to have his wife removed from their room. Being in Vegas, you have to wonder if alcohol was involved. Maybe she had a couple too many to drink and was upset about something. Regardless, I'm kind of impressed by his composure that he was able to separate himself, not do anything negative, and squash it and really put her in a better situation as well, because she was able to then look at it the next day. You know, if alcohol or anything else was involved, trying to sort it out while you're in that state is useless.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter until both parties calm down, both parties sober up, if that is the situation.
Yeah, and I saw something online that I don't know if it was true. I don't tend to believe rumors or believe everything I read online. But I saw something that it had to do with an Instagram model. Again, this could be completely fictitious and fake. But either way, the fact that he had the composure and the reasoning, listen, we're not saying, hey, we're proud of you for not beating your wife, but we have seen a number of NFL players specifically be in similar situations and not come out on that good end.
Yeah, look at Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up uppercutting his wife and dragging her Kareem by Hunt. Her hair out while she's out cold. Yeah, Kareem Hunt gets in basically like a street fight with a girl and kicks her while she's on the ground. Like, plenty of NFL players have not handled situations like this well. And I will, again, I'm with Cody. We're not saying that he should be commendated for not hitting a woman. But it is worth noting that he did keep his composure.
Which is big.
You know, I would say that that's going to be a pretty difficult thing to do. If somebody hits you hard enough to lacerate your lip, and there's rumors as to whether or not a tooth was missing, he squashed that he was at a celebrity softball game a couple days later and nobody saw a missing tooth. So nope. I'm going to say that maybe it got chipped or something and was repaired, but definitely didn't get knocked out.
Nope.
But regardless, you know what? He kept his composure and
did the right thing.
That's good. That's good. In a situation where the guy's really getting what could be his last chance in the league, you gotta keep your composure at all times.
100%.
And that's a difficult time to keep your composure, and he did.
Yep. And I'm impressed. And I'm not saying good job for not hitting right, but I'm proud of him for handling it in a mature manner that isn't necessarily on track with the way that people thought he was. Especially after the whole
thing last year. Yeah, he was getting a label for being immature.
Yep.
This is a very mature way of handling a situation. I mean, we don't know what led up to that situation for it to get that bad. But he handled it correctly when push came to shove.
Yep.
Push came to shove, and he turned around and walked away. That's great.
Perfect. That's what we need.
That's great. I'll tell you who isn't walking away this year. That's Robert Spillane.
Oh, snap.
And who
is
he
running away? I'm curious.
No.
Okay, good.
No, he ain't going nowhere. Good. He's here to stay, and Vince Williams is backing him 100%.
Atta boy, Vince.
So, Michael Beck, at Michael Beck on Twitter, tweeted out, can Robert Spillane become the next great Steelers inside linebacker? Just generically put it out there.
Yep.
Vince Williams found it, quote retweeted it, and said, 100% No, for a fact, he can.
Well, he should know. He played on the same team, practiced the same drills with him. He should know.
Yeah, and he saw the development.
Yeah.
From a guy that barely made the team to ended up starting.
And playing is projected well.
To start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it yet, I highly encourage you to check it out. Steelers.com actually had a film breakdown by Merrill Hodge on Robert Spillane.
Mm-hmm.
Well put together, which is what you expect from Merrill Hodge, who actually could be on that list of best fullback ever by a Steelers.
True.
I didn't even think about that because the Steelers weren't that great while Merrill was there. But
he was good.
Merrill was that cross between, right? He was more like Franco because he was the feature back, and he came up with the term the factor back because he didn't like fullback or halfback.
Whatever.
He felt like if you were the feature guy, you should be called the factor back. I love it. That's a Merrill Hodgeism, and I love it.
The video. Merrill Hodge goes over a film breakdown of Robert Spillane, and it's only about 4 minutes, 41 seconds long. Not too long. I haven't watched it. I'll be watching it tonight, just about.
We're not looking at it right now. Just about. But really, the takeaway that I had from watching this is that Robert Spillane really had a really good instincts on diagnosing plays and not falling for fakes. So he was able to pick up on signs and cues on misdirections, following where the guard went, because the guard oftentimes leads you to the ball. Even when on a counter play where everybody was going to the right, the guard was pulling to the left, everybody around him was going to the right with it on the defense except for him. He read the guard, he went with it, he blew up the play. There was a screenplay. He blows it up because he read his cues. He got there. He beat the blockers.
You know what he said on that play? He didn't say weight room. He said film room.
That is, though.
That's film study.
That's and having enough athleticism to get there.
Fair.
Because you got to have both.
Yep.
Got to have both. And I think the arrow is definitely pointing up on him. I know that you're a big Buddy Johnson guy.
I'm not a big Buddy Johnson guy. Buddy Johnson is a big guy.
He is a big guy.
And I like
that. I'm happy to have Buddy Johnson on the team. Don't get me wrong. I think that there's a decent chance that we see Robert Splaine take the next step.
Fair.
And go from being that quality backup who filled in and did fairly well to a quality starter that people start talking about a little bit differently this year.
Makes sense.
That's my thing on
especially if you get a defense back that's all healthy. Our defense, when they were healthy last year, was probably the best defense in the league. And I'm not saying that because it's Pittsburgh. I'm saying that because even with all the injuries, we still led the league in sacks. We still were, I believe, top 10 in turnovers. I think we might have been
top five probably because they were leading the league for a while.
So, again, this defense went healthy. Yes, we lost Bud Dupree. Yes, we lost Mike Hilton. I think Alex Highsmith will come in and make up for the loss of, I'm going to call it, he's going to tie or beat the sacks that Bud Dupree had last year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then I also think that the cornerbacks that we have are going to recognize, and we've seen the growth. We haven't seen it yet, but we've heard the growth of James Pierre. James Pierre can come in and play half as good as Mike Hilton did. I think we're pretty solid.
And you're going to see, hopefully, a healthy Tyson Alualu. We lost him healthy early in the year. When the Ravens starting fullback Patrick Ricard did an illegal crackback block and dove for his knees and took out his one knee. Yep. He missed four or five games after that. And when he came back, was not 100% healthy. That makes a big difference.
Massive difference.
Yeah, because a guy like that, when fully healthy, showed himself to be extremely disruptive, which allows the guys behind you to be disruptive because everybody's trying to figure out how the heck we're going to slow down Tyson.
Yep.
And then next thing you know, Robert's blowing a play up. So, yeah, I'm optimistic on how this front seven can look for sure.
I can't disagree more. I think defense this year is going to be phenomenal. And speaking of the defense, there's a new acquisition.
And it's a very important one.
Big time important.
We talked about this in previous episodes on how the top three outside linebacker positions for Pittsburgh were basically locked up as we feel Quincy Roche, the fifth round draft pick, is basically a lock for the team. But there was no depth behind him, and realistically counting on him as that third pass rusher is a little bit risky. Pittsburgh today, actually just a few hours before we started recording, signed Melvin Ingram, who was a career Los Angeles Charger, to a one-year deal. Look for Melvin Ingram to be the number one backup. I don't think he's going to start over top of Alex Highsmith. This is a three-time Pro Bowler. This is a man that in 7 years, or I'm sorry, 9 years in the NFL has 49 career sacks.
Impressive.
Two seasons, he had 10.5 sacks.
Also impressive.
Yeah. And honestly, he clowns on the numbers that Jadeveon Clowney has out there.
Clowns.
Yeah. I'm just going to say
good. That was good.
This is the difference between the way we look at this and the way Browns fans look at these transactions, right? The Browns bring in Jadeveon Clowney, and he's supposed to be the answer to the defense, right? He is the guy that is the reason that Myles Garrett is not going to get double teamed anymore and all this. In seven seasons in the NFL,
that's what they say.
Jadeveon Clowney has 32 sacks. 32. Seven seasons. That's not quite five a year.
It's not bad.
Not quite. Mm-hmm. And then we look at a man 9 years in the league has 49 sacks. Last year he had zero his first 2 years in the league, 1-1. But 2 years with 10.5. Clowney never had more than 9.5, with his second best being 9, his third best being 6.
Yeah.
And then the two next years underneath those 10.5 are 8 sack seasons for Melvin Ingram.
Seven. Seven apiece. But he still had an 8 in between the 10.5s.
Gotcha.
Which is still, you go from one, so his first 3 years, 1-1-4. You started seeing that growth in that third year, very similar to kind of Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
And then you see 10.5. And then the next year he has 8. and then 10.5 in his first year with the Los Angeles Chargers. No, excuse me. He stayed with the Chargers through, but they were San Diego, then they're Los Angeles. And then he had 2 years worth 7. And then last year being the off year with the injury and everything, he had none, but still. Yeah,
but he only played 7 games.
But 49 yeah. sacks. So let's say 49 sacks over 8 years. If you want to count the 7 games, you can. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
49 sacks. You could, I mean, you could do the same thing with excuse me, with Clowney.
With Jadeveon, yeah.
You could say he has 32 in 6 years.
Yeah.
So 32 and 6 compared to 49 in 8. I still take 49 and 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. All day, every day.
The production. Yeah, absolutely. Production is absolutely higher year after year. And the thing is, we're looking at this guy as a top backup. Yeah. They're looking at their guy as the answer and a starter.
It's sad. It's sad to see how, don't get me wrong, Jadeveon Clowney will yeah. help them. He's not going to hinder them.
And maybe he does have a good season, but I don't know how you can look at a guy with 0 sacks in the last 2 years and be like, oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
Whatever. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can. Absolutely.
They're going to, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about Brown's fans anymore. I'm going to go be visiting one here pretty quick.
I mean, Olivier Vernon had 9 sacks for them last year, and they're trying to say a guy with 0 sacks last year is going to be better.
Well,
stop.
They also call him Oliver. So
stop.
They also call him Oliver. Stop. Olivier Vernon, comparatively, if you look at the numbers, 63.5 sacks over the course of, what, 10 years?
A 9-year career.
9 years, yeah. So that's 63.5 is better, but they weren't satisfied with that, apparently.
Yeah, it's almost twice as
and
much.
And he had 9 last year.
Yeah. Now, granted, he's not going to play this year. He ruptured his Achilles at the end of last year. He's out. Like, he isn't a viable option. It's not like they looked at it and said, oh, well, we're going to move on from him. And,
true.
But his contract did run out just the same.
Yep.
I'm just saying, if you're looking at this from a realistic perspective, you really shouldn't expect to see better production out of Clowney than you did out of Vernon.
Which is the weird part why they're so hyped for Jadeveon Clowney. And I genuinely believe that everyone who's a Jadeveon Clowney fan for the Browns always just thinks about his hit in college that he had.
That was a hell of a hit, though, man.
It was. He knocked the helmet off. He didn't knock the ball out. But it was right after.
Oh, he
did. Did he?
Yeah.
And it was right after a play where they got a penalty called or something.
Absolutely robbed. It was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen in my life.
So, again, Jadeveon Clowney is a great football player. I don't expect him to outplay Olivier, which, I mean, he will this year. Let me clarify. I don't expect him to outplay the production that Olivier would have brought.
Yeah.
And I don't expect him to outperform Myles Garrett or outperform, if I'm being honest, either of the outside guys for Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to beat either of them. So I don't know what the hype is for Cleveland.
But yeah, I'll be surprised if he has more sacks than Alex Highsmith. Very much so.
I don't know. We'll see, Browns fans. We will see. We will see. Training camp.
More importantly, we will see Steelers fans.
We will.
We will all see. I think we'll have the final laugh on that one.
We're going to be seeing training camp soon.
So soon, only a couple days away. It starts Thursday.
Thursday training camp starts. So expect next week to be a very interesting episode as we will have some input from training camp. Probably some videos, all kinds of stuff that we'll be sharing on our social media and keeping you guys up to date with.
And we'll have some insight, too, on these roster battles, right? Yep. Oh, there's been a lot of talk. We've talked a lot about it, of where these guys are at. Why Dwayne Haskins is getting less snaps than Presley Harvin III at quarterback. You know, there's a lot to talk about. The look he just gave me was priceless, by the way. But we need to know, realistically, cornerbacks, what's going on? There's a huge question mark after the top 4 guys. Who's running at nickel? Who's running first team? What are they doing on the offensive line?
Is
Kendrick Green starting at center? Is it B.J. Finney? Is it J.C. Hassenhauer? Like, what's going on there? What are they doing at the tackle position?
Even showing who's running in the second spot on some of these is going to show us something. Because if you have some of the guys that you think are interior linemen running tackle position on second team, maybe they're trying to get a look.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about where are they going to play guys like Anthony Coyle and Aviante Collins in some of these guys that can play multiple and have played multiple positions. Rashad Coward even played guard and tackle previously. Where are they going to play him? What are they going to
hopefully really on the offensive line?
Yeah. Yeah. What are their natural positions going to be? And what's the order? That's where it's really important to see where Pittsburgh's coaching staff is as far as their opinions of these guys is who plays first, who practices first.
Yep. So again,
tells you a lot.
Tells us a lot. A lot of things are going to be discussed. A lot of things are going to be kind of aired out as we go into training camp. Training camp, I think, for the average fan is underutilized in the sense of understanding your team and understanding how they're going to play early in the year. I mean, that and preseason. Fans that don't watch preseason and their team goes 0-4 and the starters had three turnovers in the 3-4 games, don't in the limited time that they played, don't quite understand, is my team playing bad in week one? Well, they played like trash to begin with.
Yeah. You need to see something out of them in the preseason or you really can't expect much in the regular season.
Yep. So
at least in the beginning stages.
Be very interesting. And then we have a preseason game in 2 weeks.
It's real soon, man.
The
Hall of Fame game.
The Hall of Fame game is August.
Yes, it is August.
No. Well, yeah. It's August 5th? I believe it's August 5th or 6th.
It is the 5th.
It's the Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So Hall of Fame game, August 5th, will be aired on TV. James will be at the enshrinement ceremony on Saturday the 7th. And then on Sunday the 8th, we will be at training camp. So a busy week for James that week, but
it's great, man.
It will be a good time.
These are the kind of problems I want.
Football problems, absolutely.
Yeah.
So again, we can't thank you guys enough. Listen, you talk about football problems. I literally made some lunch for some of my guys today that came over to help me move some stuff. We've been watching this guy on YouTube called Yo Boy Pizza. He does a lot of streaming. He streamed Madden franchise, 32-man franchise. Every team is being used by somebody. And that just makes me miss football so much because he's playing football and I'm seeing these big hits, these crazy plays. It's an awesome, awesome time. So if you guys are ever interested in watching someone play Madden other than us or stream video games that pushes out some good content, Yo Boy Pizza is the man. Look him up on social media. He's a cool guy. Really cool guy. Steelers fan, too. From the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't be promoting him,
obviously. No, not at all. We wouldn't talk about him at all. Yo Boy who?
Pizza.
Now I want pizza. Never. Gosh darn it. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for all the support you have given us over the course of going on through. Well, we're starting our third year now.
Yeah. So this is season three for us.
Season three. Thank you guys so much. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Be looking for that picture of James flexing tonight. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.